Joshua 22, and we're just going to read the first 8 verses. When I started out planning and preparing this week, we were doing all 34. That probably tells you what your pastor found in 8 verses. Too much for us, which is a good thing. So Joshua 22, and let's read. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me in everything I commanded. For a long time now, to this very day, you have not deserted your brothers, but have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you. Now that the Lord your God has given your brothers rest, as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But be very careful to keep the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul." Then Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their homes. To the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given the land in Bashan. To the other half-tribe, other half of the tribe, Joshua gave land on the west side of the Jordan with their brothers. When Joshua sent them home, he blessed them, saying, "Return to your homes with your great wealth, with large herds of livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and a great quantity of clothing, and divide with your brothers the plunder from your enemies." Amen. This is God's word for us this evening. On the 8th of May, 1945, well, maybe one or two of us were around then, Churchill delivered a welcome speech on the balcony of the Ministry of Health in Whitehall. The people were already celebrating the end of World War II, which had been announced a short while before. He now said to the gathered crowds, "God bless you all. This is your victory. It is the victory of the cause of freedom in every land. In all our long history, we have never seen a greater day than this. Everyone, man or woman, has done their best. Everyone has tried. Neither the long years, nor the dangers, nor the fierce attacks of the enemy have in any way weakened the independent resolve of the British nation. God bless you all." As the crowds heard and were celebrating VE Day, they shouted back to Churchill as he declared, "This is your victory." They shouted back, "No, it's yours." Joy, celebration, no doubt a fair bit of relief that the long war was finally over. The battle was won, the enemy defeated. Now those who had been fighting could return to their families and get on with life again. And there's a real sense that here in Joshua chapter 22, that's what the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh were feeling. The battle is over. And today we're going to look at this chapter and see what happens after the battle is over. The Jewish conquest of Canaan has ended. God has given them the land that he promised to them years before. These tribes are being sent to home to their families by General Joshua after they've done battle together for 7 years against all the cities of opposition. However, the return home will not be without incident. There's going to be confusion over history, over behaviour, and over their motives. And both sides are going to make great attempts to resolve the conflict. But that's for next week. I had thought about getting on to that today, but there's just too much in these opening verses for us. As we begin chapter 22, we see Joshua, the great general, gathering the tribes around him. Here he has gathered those tribes that who had asked Moses some time ago to allow them to settle on the far side of the Jordan. They didn't want to cross into the promised land. And Moses compromised and Moses let them stay. But they've served faithfully in the conquest nonetheless. Now is the time for them to return home. And as Joshua gathers them, we see their honourable discharge. Joshua is proud of what they have achieved together. And he's grateful for their support and for their help. They have truly listened to and obeyed both Moses' command that was given to them years before, and Joshua's commands throughout the 7 years of conquest. And Joshua has led the nation of Israel to a great victory under the guidance of God's hand, and he takes no credit. An Italian proverb says, it's the blood of the soldier that makes the general great. The blood of the soldier that makes the general great. But this general here in Joshua 22 made his soldiers great. And as he discharges them, we see him recognize their part in all of this and how well they have done. He praises them. And their honorable discharge begins with Joshua commending them. He commended them. The tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had asked Moses back in Numbers 32 if they could settle in the lands of Jazer and Gilead. At that time, they agreed to do it, but they agreed to carry on fighting with the Israelites as they conquered Canaan. Indeed, in Deuteronomy 3 and 18, we read a command from Moses. And let me just flick there so that you know that I'm reading something from Deuteronomy 3 and 18 and not just making it up for you. Deuteronomy 3 and 18, I commanded you at that time, the Lord your God has given you this land to take possession of it, but all your able-bodied men, armed for battle, must cross over ahead of your brother Israelites. However, your wives, your children, and your livestock, I know you have much livestock, may stay in the towns I have given you until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they too have taken over the land that the Lord your God is giving them across the Jordan. After that, each of you may go back to the possession I have given you. After Moses' death, these two same 2.5 tribes committed themselves, not to Moses, but now to Joshua. And in Joshua 1:16, they said, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. And they did. And here in Joshua chapter 22 in verse 2, we see Joshua commending them, praising them, thanking them for keeping their word and serving alongside the other tribes as they made their conquest of Canaan. There in verse 2, Joshua says, you have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me in everything I commanded. For a long time now, to this very day, you have not deserted your fellow Israelites, but have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you. The question for us has to be, why did they remain so loyal to the leaders and to their fellow soldiers? Surely they must have thought about their families. Surely they must have thought about the lush lands that they had and wanted to return to. Of course they did. But their loyalty comes to their commitment to God first and foremost. It was God's mission they were carrying out, we read here. God had promised the children of Israel a land of their own, and this was to be their land. They were serving God, and they were glorifying his name. And so Joshua commends them for their loyalty and their service. Friends, the best thing we can ever do in life is to serve the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And then on that day when we stand before him, we will hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Joshua commends the tribes here as he discharges them. But he discharges them now in verse 3. For a long time, he says, to this very day, you've not deserted your fellow Israelites, but you've carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you. Now that the Lord your God, verse 4, has given your brothers rest as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. These men have done all that was asked of them. They've served faithfully. They've kept their promise. They've completed their mission. And now Joshua says to them, you're free. You're free to return to your homes and to your land. Notice though, why they are free to return home. The Lord gave them rest. And as we summarize chapters 13 through 21 before the summer, we noted that God gave them land, God gave them victory, God gave them rest. They had rest from war. That rest is not simply sitting down and catching up on your sleep and resting on your weary limbs. No, it has more to do with resting in God, having victory, security, and peace in Him. As we get to the New Testament book of Hebrews, we discover God's rest for His people in chapters 3 and 4. When we trust in Jesus as our Saviour, we enter into a rest because we're no longer at war with God. He says to us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I wonder if you can remember back to when you first became a Christian, when you experienced the joy and the delight and the peace that you found in Jesus. We ought to be resting in Christ even now, safe and secure in His victory, even as we continue to serve Him in the world around us today. Joshua commends them, and then he discharges them. Before we go on to see maybe the key bit of this little section of the passage, he admonished them. Verse 5, he says to them, "But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to obey His commands, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Admonish means to advise, to warn, to exhort. Joshua is encouraging them to keep following God. He's advising them how to live life well in the coming days. He's warning them of the dangers of ignoring God and going their own way. And he's exhorting them to walk humbly before God all their days, serving Him with heart and with soul. Joshua's concerned about them. He's concerned about the things that every good spiritual leader should be concerned about: their spiritual health and their walk with God. These men have been serving God faithfully for 7 long years in battle. And during those long years, they've listened to and they've obeyed Joshua. And because they followed Joshua, everything has gone well. And that, of course, is on account of the fact that as they followed Joshua, Joshua was faithfully following and obeying God. Remember back to Joshua 1, where in verse 7 we read, "Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." This is God's words to Joshua. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Joshua had led the nation well. He has placed God above everything else, and God has honored that, just as He promised He would. Joshua's loved God, and he's walked in His ways, and he's obeyed His word. And the nation of Israel has experienced great victory in Canaan because of it. He set the example to his people. He's been careful to obey the laws of God. He's immersed himself in the book of the law. He's meditated on it, and he's lived it out in practice before them. Our leaders in spiritual terms, should set the right example. And this is a great challenge to me always. It was a challenge in Kilkenny last week, not because the team were hard to lead, but because as I looked in the situation we were in, I saw different leadership styles from the pastor there to me. And I saw how sometimes, how down to earth and with the young folks I was, made me feel good, by the way. But it began to make me think, is that setting the right example? Do I need to be apart from them? And the answer is, no, I didn't, because it was important for me to be part of the team. But our leaders set an example. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for all of our leaders. I have to battle to get the balance right between actual activity in serving you, between the visiting, the preaching, the attending meetings, the reaching out to people in school and community and care homes, leading you in the ways of God, all of that alongside time spent alone reading and meditating on God's word. There's a sense in which it's easy to be doing all the physical activities, and yet it's vital that our spiritual leaders have time alone in the study with God and on their knees in prayer. How can a spiritual leader ever lead you well if they're not drinking deeply from the well of life every single day? Help your pastor, whoever that happens to be. Makes it easier if I say whoever it happens to be. It might be someone else on another day, on a different occasion. Help your pastor get the balance right. Expect enough of them, but not too much. Encourage him to enjoy quality time in devotion and in prayer, as well as in the physical activities of church life. Joshua set the example for the children of Israel, and it resulted in God giving them the land and then giving them rest. Now Joshua wants to turn to these tribes, these 2.5 tribes, and he wants to encourage them to carry on walking humbly before God themselves. They're going to be far away from the other tribes. They're going to be across the Jordan River, not in the land of promise, but in the lush land that they wanted to have for themselves. And of course, Joshua is concerned about how they will live, how they will get on, how safe they will be from harm. But most of all, he is concerned about their spiritual life. And he admonishes them. He admonishes them to keep God's commands. They are to love God and to walk in his ways. Jesus, when he was asked what the greatest commandment was, said in Matthew 22:37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." If we truly love God, we will not want any other gods in our lives, nor idols. Nor will we use his name in vain, and we'll keep the Sabbath day holy. We will do away with our desire to make gods out of our jobs, our positions, our status, our homes, our cars, our possessions, whatever else we happen to make gods out of. But not only is it about loving God, but it's about living out that love as we love others around us. And if we love others, we're not going to want to. What's the rest of the Ten Commandments? We'll not want to murder them. We'll not want to commit adultery with them. We'll not want to steal from them, lie from them, lie to them or about them. And we'll certainly not want to covet their donkey or anything else they happen to have. Not unless it's a really good donkey anyway. We will want the very best for them. God's very best for them. And that's what Joshua wants for these tribes. He wants God's very best for them, and so he reminds them to love God and to serve God and to walk in his ways. Joshua exhorts the people of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh to serve God always, above everything else. And friends, that is what we should want for each other. It is my role as your pastor to teach you the things of God, to encourage you to walk in his ways always. But it's our jobs together as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to admonish one another, to spur one another on to love and to good deeds. Joshua admonished the people so that as they went home, they would continue to love and to serve and to follow God. And so having commended them, having discharged them, having admonished them, we finish with a little blessing at the end for them. He blessed them. Verse 6. Then Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their homes. This was both a spiritual blessing and a material blessing. It was the ministry of the high priest to bless God's people, but leaders could invoke blessing on others as well. And here is Joshua, the great general, asking God to bless those who have served alongside them. Joshua had rightly taken many accolades for being a great and a strong leader, but he wouldn't have achieved it if God hadn't been on his side and if he hadn't obeyed God. And he wouldn't have achieved it if these men had not stood beside them. And so Joshua is grateful for them, and he asks God to bless them richly in the spiritual realms. But as well as asking God to bless them spiritually, Joshua sends them home with material goods to bless their families and their home with as well. Look at verse 8, at end of verse 7. When Joshua sent them away, he blessed them, saying, "Return to your homes with your great wealth, with large herds of livestock, with silver, gold, bronze and iron, and a great quantity of clothing, and divide with your brothers the plunder from your enemies." One of the great customs in Israel back in those days was the sharing of the plunder with those who had remained at home to protect the homes and the cities, those who had kept the community going while these men had been away fighting. And so Joshua allows them, blesses them with the bounty from their travels and sends them on their way. And does God not richly bless us as well, friends? He blesses us spiritually in Christ Jesus, who laid down his life that we might take up ours. He blesses us materially, physically, with health and strength, with jobs, with family, with homes, with clothes to wear, with food to eat. We are rich in Christ. He blesses us as we continue to love him, to honour him, to serve him, and to walk in his ways. So much in that chapter, isn't there? And that's us only done the first 8 verses, which is enough for us this evening. Next week, we'll get round to the remaining verses in the chapter and look at the problems that came about and the harmony that they sought. But for tonight, the honourable discharge of the tribes of Reuben and of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Joshua commended them for their obedience and their faithfulness in serving together in battle before he discharged them and sent them to their homes and their families. God had given them rest now. And as they went, he admonished them to ensure that they kept walking in the ways of God. And then he blessed them as they went. Do you know, it's good to keep encouraging one another. We face many battles in life. The greatest, perhaps, was coming to saving faith in the first place. We continue to battle as Satan seeks to take our eyes off of the Lord and stop us serving him. So we need to keep focused. And as we continue to serve God, may we commend one another for good jobs done. Let's praise one another. Praise is a great thing, not simply for the sake of it, but for acknowledging good and valuable service. Encourage one another. Maybe the challenge coming out of today for you is this. Find something to encourage, to commend, to praise somebody around you for in these coming days. Last Sunday, on the boat home from Northern Ireland, we took some time as a team to sit and think about the week that had been, the things that we had learned, the things that challenged us. And I'd given them time to think about all of those before we got on the boat. And then it's always good, pastor's privilege, always good to throw in a little extra question as you're sitting as a group around the table. And the challenge became for us as a team to say one positive thing that we'd be encouraged by are the other members of the team. And you'd be amazed at how hard, easy that was to do. How easy it is to do. Joshua commended the people. Maybe this week you want to think about a way you can commend, encourage, praise, bless somebody around you in their service, in their walk with God. And in the midst of that, maybe, just maybe, you might need to admonish someone at some point in time that they would keep walking God's ways. Never let us be afraid of encouraging and of challenging one another so that we might be the people God wants us to be. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that's contained within it. We thank you for the wonderful story of Joshua and the children of Israel. We thank you that you wrote down their experiences, their journey, their battles, their challenges for us, that we might be encouraged years and years later. We thank you that after the battle was over, Joshua took the time to give these tribes an honourable discharge. We thank you that he commended them and that he admonished them. And Lord, help us to be a people who would encourage one another in our praise and would also challenge one another if we see each other going astray and not walking the path that you have set out for us. Lord, help us to be a people who would build one another up, spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and all the time, so that each of us, separately and together, would continue to serve you to the best of our abilities, serving you, giving you our all. For we pray these things now, in Jesus' name. Amen.